Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is Kelly Barner, editor of Buyer's Meeting Point. Today, I would like to welcome Tanya Seery as my guest. Tanya is something of a serial entrepreneur, founding several new procurement organizations: The Faculty, one of Australia's leading advisors on procurement development; The Source, a specialist recruitment firm for the procurement profession; and Procurious, the world's first online community for procurement professionals. In fact, Procurious recently celebrated a major milestone, welcoming their 10,000th member. Tanya, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
So, you heard the background information I provided just now. I would love to have you start us off by sharing how your apparent combined passion for procurement and then entrepreneurship has caused you to come up with and act upon these new ideas again and again.
Well, I'd like to think it's really just listening to the profession and understanding what the needs are. But really, there's no such thing as a new idea. And a lot of these ideas about networking and connecting people go back to when I first started into procurement with Alcoa Aluminium in Pittsburgh in the US, because we had to bring together, 25 business units, not just across North America, but across the world, and align all the heads of procurement for those businesses. So we had to develop a lot of tools for bringing people together in round tables, a lot of communication processes. So it really started back then. And, of course, everyone who works in leveraged procurement or a centralized sourcing team knows that you have to develop a lot of communication and that, let's say, negotiation skills to bring together global teams. So it really started then. So if we fast forward to Procurious, I guess what I've developed is the ultimate communication tool for global procurement teams. I think I also realized that procurement can be quite a lonely place. If you're, say, the tire buyer or the, lubricants buyer for a major resources company, you might be the only person in the company who's specializing in that. So it's really great to have a place that you can go to that you can talk to other people who may be doing the same thing as you.
Now, one of the things that I feel like we hear about and read about a lot within procurement is that companies and recruiters are placing a strong emphasis on the soft skills as they're looking to build up and fill the procurement roles of the future. Do you find that being communications focused, as you were putting it, about what you've built at Procurious, requires people to already have those strong soft skills, or is it something that can help maybe supplement or augment the soft skills that are currently in place and just bring them up to where companies expect them to be today?
Yeah, well, I think you've raised a couple of issues there that I'm very passionate about. The first one is that we need the smartest guys in the room. If this profession is going to survive and thrive, we need to find the absolute smartest people in our company. So I'll come back to that. I think the second point you've raised is about millennials for me. And it would seem that millennials do need some, we're talking very generally here, but, perhaps some help in developing those stakeholder skills. And unfortunately, social media has a lot to do with why they may not be used to getting out and schmoozing stakeholders within the business. So that'll be an interesting conversation. But if we start with the smartest guys in the room, I really think that today's, you know, it's such an exciting time to be in procurement because it's hard to think of a business issue we don't touch these days, isn't it? I mean, we've got to think of sustainability. There's a lot of employee or even human rights issues. There's innovation. We've moved a long way from, you know, just transactional order management or, you know, even we've moved on from strategic sourcing. So it's very fascinating to think of all the issues we touch on. So people today, to be successful, they have to be T-shaped is what I say. So if you think of the letter T, you know, they have to have very deep procurement expertise, but they also have to be able to walk across the business, you know, work across the business and have all those stakeholder engagement skills, but also understand the business. And, you know, I sort of say they need to be strategic yet analytical. They need to be internally customer-centric, but they need to be supplier-savvy. So there's a lot of skills that people now need to be successful. And, of course, stakeholder engagement is one of those, but understanding all the business issues are another one. The thing with millennials is that, you know, obviously, they're where a lot of our bright stars are. They're the future of the profession. And they're entering the workforce with technology skills that we could have probably only dreamed of in our 20s. You know, we had to learn our technology skills at work. This generation is coming to work with all those skills. And really, the platform, you know, like Procurious, is really tailored for millennials because what we've found is that, you know, millennials are more likely to go to an online forum and ask, say, Google or one of those discussion groups like Quora a question than they are to ask their boss. You know, this is a generation that are very used to using technology to find out answers. The downside to that is that it's not a natural response for them to necessarily, you know, go and talk to people or pick up the phone or go and do a site visit. They tend to think that everything can be answered via, you know, email, Slack, or their social networks. So, you know, we'll have a bit of work to do there. As we do with all the generations, you know, we have to get out from behind our desks and go and meet suppliers and see our stakeholders. So I hope that answers your question.
No, I think it does. And I think you make an interesting point about starting with having the smartest guys in the room in terms of setting procurement up to achieve its best potential for success as we move forward. And I think that's a combined, obviously, we want the absolute pick of the litter when it comes to recruiting talented millennials and recent college grads and getting them into procurement. But I think there are also probably some opportunities to catch some second generation or second career, I should say, professionals, people that have tired of finance, have tired of operations, and maybe want to try something different. When you look at the people and the profiles and maybe some of the trends that are apparent about the folks joining Procurious, do you see a wide range of backgrounds, or because it's focused on procurement, do you see a relatively similar career path of people who have been in procurement for a while and know that being part of a community like Procurious is the right step to take for their careers? What sorts of things are you seeing in that area?
Look, I don't have any data-based, analytics to give you on that. But I think from my experience over the last sort of 15 or 20 years, there are very few people who've actually chosen to go into procurement as a profession, isn't there? And very few who have actually studied procurement or supply chain at university. So I think that there is a large majority of people who have moved over from law or finance, and I think they are actually very exciting candidates. So I'm really excited to see there's a lot of global CPOs who are now appointed from outside procurement. And I think that's a great endorsement for our profession that we're able to attract, you know, the leading chemist or someone who's actually been running a line of business to be the CPO. And to your earlier point, I think they've been selected not only because they're smart, but because they understand the business and they've got great leadership skills. I think the other good news is that those CPOs actually are loving procurement because they love the scope. They love all the interesting little situations we get ourselves into, Kelly. So I think, yeah, there's definitely a great outlook for that. And once again, we need to really be thinking about how we promote the profession and, you know, the best place to do that is online.
Now, if we look at all three of the businesses you've started within procurement, the faculty, the source, and now Procurious, you've got a professional development organization, a recruiting firm, and now online networking or a community. In all of these cases, there are pre-existing sort of general business versions of those in existence. I'm sure if you had a dollar for every time you know, somebody asked you why found Procurious if LinkedIn already exists, you would probably be on a beach somewhere right now instead of working. But what is it that is so specific or unique to procurement that creates an opportunity to sort of rebuild these types of needs with a procurement-specific focus?
Well, I think going back to my earlier point is that it can be quite isolating. You can be a specialist buyer in a specialist industry and maybe never meet anyone who does the same thing. And the penny dropped for me many years ago when we were running a workshop for, you know, people who manage this corporate scorecard and were tracking all the savings. And at the end of the day, the guy said, I can't believe that there's other people in the world who do the same thing as I do. He thought that he was the only poor guy stuck in a back room calculating savings. So that's a really great moment when you can connect with other people. I think that, once again, I go back to these supply chain issues and these disruptions, is that a lot of CEOs are now saying supply chain disruptions are their number one business issue. And the only way procurement and supply chain are going to stay across these things if they are on social media and understand what's happening out there because, you know, you basically don't know what's going to happen next. And it's my hope that people will get used to being part of a community, which is Procurious, and actually start to work together to help solve these problems by sharing, you know, suppliers, solutions, ways they would handle problems, contacts, and that if we keep using Procurious for problem solving, is that we will actually develop community muscle and we'll be able to solve problems together and it'll become an automatic response for us to reach out to our peers online and try and solve problems. So I think that is unique to our profession, is that we're dealing with major global supply chains that do disrupt. So you do need to have like a news type service and also a network that can give you information.
Well, one of the other things that I think is very unique to procurement and goes way, way back, just based on sort of our primary function of negotiating with suppliers, putting contracts in place, is that most people within the profession are conditioned to keep information close to the vest. We're very conservative about what we share in any public fashion, and that could be from something as formal as agreeing to do an endorsement or a press release or a webinar, admitting that you've awarded business to a supplier. But it also, I think, ends up running downstream and in some cases interfering with our ability to share information in online communities because we're so conditioned not to talk. Do you see people gradually becoming more willing to open up and share. There's no question people are listening. You know, the traffic is there. You've got 10,000 members. The reads are there. The follows are there. The likes are there. But are people gradually starting to share more and open up in such a way that fosters that kind of community dynamic?
Look, I'd like to think so, Kelly, but I think there's still a long way to go. I think that you're right. There are a lot of people who are watching and listening and learning, but not necessarily participating. And, you know, I think this is going to take time. And this is probably one of our biggest challenges is not only to are we trying to change the face of procurement, but we're also trying to educate everyone about the benefit of social media. I think this is, you know, what you have to do when you're a first mover in these spaces. So we're doing all we can to try and educate the procurement profession about the value of participating and sharing. And of course, one of the biggest benefits is career advancement. If people build their own learn profile, they get noticed. And, you know, I've had an example just this week where a headhunter approached me for a candidate recommendations for the head of a digital marketplace. Well, naturally, the people that I've been seeing online are going to be the first people who, you know, come into my mind. And then, you know, as I start to search my networks, those who have been more active on social media and have something to say or, you know, have more of a presence are going to be more top of mind for when these sort of roles come up. So I think there is a big benefit for individuals. They just need to be convinced of it. But I also think there's a huge opportunity for the profession in that just like recruiters look for individuals, business analysts look at what's happening in different professions. And I think the more positive stories we have out there about procurement successes, the more visible our profession is. So each of us sort of have a responsibility to make sure we're putting forward the positive stories about what we're doing so that the overall effect is that we promote the profession.
Now, you've had an opportunity to work and study internationally within procurement and supply chain. So you've worked in Australia and the UK. You've studied in the US and done some work here as well. Are we truly a global community, or are there either some business priorities or maybe even some geographically related sort of cultural differences between the different pockets of procurement professionals in the world?
I would say we're definitely not an international community yet, and I'd be interested to hear your views, but I really do think that we are regionally focused and that the great opportunity is that we're actually all doing the same sort of thing and we've all got the same challenges. And actually, we're probably sharing a lot of the same suppliers because there are a lot of global suppliers, even though they, you know, negotiate locally and maybe have different pricing structures, unfortunately, in the regions. You know, there's a lot we can learn from each other, but I really do believe that's the big opportunity for us all to realise that we're actually in the same boat and have the same issues and we can support each other.
Well, perhaps it's the nice thing about Procurious or even Twitter or Facebook, depending on how people use it, you're sort of flagged as procurement first or supply chain first, and then if someone chooses to dig, they might discover, oh, you're based in London, you're based in Boston, you're based in Frankfurt. People are all over, as long as business is conducted, in which in most cases it is, in English, so that those exchanges can take place. Social media does have a way of sort of separating us from our geographical boundaries, even from our time zone constraints in some cases, and allowing us to learn from people that we never otherwise would have met.
No, that's definitely right. And I guess that's one of the reasons why we think it's important to have our own sort of vertical network, a network purely for procurement professionals, because you can get lost on those other networks and channels. You know, they are very busy, and at least here you know that the majority of people are in procurement and that you can consult them, and you know that you'll probably get some great answers. And that is our biggest, you know, the most used part of the platform or the community is the discussion area.
So one of the other things that I think your background, and again, this goes back to sort of the entrepreneurial story, gives us a unique opportunity to learn from, is that right now, my own feeling is that there are some real changes going on around how organizations generally, but procurement more specifically, feel about and interact with risk. In the past, it was very much looked as something always bad. Risk is always bad. We need to stop it. We need to block it. It needs to be shut down. But that's not conducive to growth, and it's certainly in a lot of cases not cost effective. And when I think about taking risks, there's no one that better understands embracing risk or taking calculated risks better than someone that has started a business. And given that you've done it several times, and although I'm sure not in any case was it a straight trajectory upward, you've by and large been successful. Would you mind sharing a little bit how risk and how you deal with it has factored into some of the business decisions that you've made, and how maybe procurement could learn from that to start to feel more positively towards risk?
I think there's a certain amount of courage involved, and someone once said to me, you've just got to be braver for 5 minutes longer than the next person, and that was quite an insight, because usually the hardest thing is to make a decision. Once you've made a decision, you know, you work hard at making it successful. I think a lot of us, so that's one point, but I think also a lot of us discount our judgment, and you know, there's this whole theory about, you know, bounce theory about 10,000 hours. And I think if you've had a very good career and worked in great companies and had a great education, you've learned a lot more than you probably give yourself credit for. You've seen a lot of things happen. And when you're making decisions in business, all those factors come into play. And sometimes we feel that it's intuition or it's a gut feel, but I believe it's a lot more than that. It's accumulation of all the experiences you've had which give you an indication of what's right and what's wrong in terms of making a decision. And I think a big part of that is choosing the people that you work with, the people that you choose as partners. For example, we're very proud to have partnered with ISM and Hackett, and you know, I've known them for 20 years, seen their work, their professionalism, and you know, that doesn't feel like taking a risk when you partner with people like that, or the employees that I hire. It certainly doesn't feel like risk because you're basing those decisions on everything that you've learnt. But hey, I'm definitely taking a risk on Procurious. I've really put myself out there. I have an aspiration for our profession that I hope others appreciate, and they have. We've had, you know, it's now actually 12,000 members sign up, and you know, a great percentage of whom are really interacting on the site. So we wanted to build a quality product, a quality community, and one that was built on substance. So hopefully that is what people see when they join.
So one of the things then that I'd like to ask, given those aspirations, is, you know, it's March 1st, which is scary. 2016 is flying past. We still at least have the majority of the year ahead of us at this point. Are there any big plans or big events or big projects underway at Procurious that are likely to be something that people in procurement become aware of during the year that you'd like to talk about?
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting year for us. So we've just launched our app, which is in beta stage, so we're not talking too much about it, but if anyone's out there listening and they want to download the app from the Apple store. We love your feedback on our first app, so that'll make it a lot easier for people to stay in touch on the run and to invite their peers to join. So that's the first news. Then last year we ran a very successful summit. It's the Big Ideas Summit, and we'll be running it this year on April 21 out of London. But it's a virtual conference, so people around the world can register as digital delegates and hear the big ideas of some of the key influencers in procurement. So that's our idea of bringing people together to talk about what next, what could be, the unknown knowns or the known unknowns. And that should be very exciting. So that's April 21. People can register for that. We'll also be running our first corporate pilot. So we are currently working with a global company to run a private version of Procurious so that their global team can communicate and share. The CPO can actually see the profiles of the 2,000 people who are in their organisation, see who, you know, is suitable for their next assignments, and basically use it as an internal communication tool. So that's exciting as well. So we're hoping that our numbers will continue to grow and we'll finish the year very strongly, having done another successful thought leadership event and running a corporate pilot.
And given the fact that you're making the event virtual and moving into some of these corporate areas, gives people watching, absolutely regardless of where they are based, a reason to take notice and to be aware of what's happening within the Procurious community, as well as to generally become more involved in social media, and especially to get started, whether people are listening or whether people are sharing, the first step to take is to make those connections. So for anyone that is interested in learning more about Procurious, the online community designed specifically for procurement professionals, you can click on the links on today's Blog Talk Radio episode page. Tanya, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your journey and your view on the procurement profession.
Thank you, Kelly.
And thank you as well to everyone who has joined us for this BMP Radio podcast. Please feel free to share your comments and feedback on this conversation, as well as to share it with anyone from your network that you feel would benefit from the information. Thank you for joining us today.